Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhare Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhare Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhare Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhare Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasade Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Vallabha Radha Vallabha Radhe. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Shri Radhe. Jaya Jagannatha, Jaya Jagannatha, Jaya Baladeva, Jaya Subhadra Devi. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. జయ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి ప్రభుపాదా జయ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి ప్రభుపాదా నిథాయ గౌర హరి బోల్ హరి బోల్ హరి బోల్ నిథాయ గౌర హరి బోల్ నిథాయ గౌర హరి బోల్ హరి బోల్ హరి బోల్ నితాయ గౌర హరి బోల్ గౌర ప్రేమనంది జయ ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ పరమహంస పరివ్రాకరాచార్య అస్తోతర అభయచరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శీలా ప్రభుపాదాకి జయ్. ఇస్కాన్ ఫౌండర్ ఆచార్య జగద్గురు శీలా ప్రభుపాద శ్రీ 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 జగన్నాథ బలదేవ్ సుభద్రామహారానికి జయ్. శ్రీ 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 గౌరనితాయికి జయ్. శ్రీ 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 రాధాబల్లభ భగవానికి జయ్. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ గౌరంగ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 18, new chapter, entitled Diti Vows to Kill King Indra, text number 1. Shri Sukha Uvacha, Prishnistu Patni Savitu, ప్రిష్ణీస్తు పత్ని సవితు సావిత్రం వ్యహర్తిం త్రయిం సావిత్రిం వ్రైహర్తిం త్రయం త్రయం అగ్నిహోత్రం పాసుం సోమం అగ్నిహోత్రం పాసుం సోమం చతుర్మాస్యన్మహామకాన్. శ్రీసుక ఉవాచ ప్రిష్ణీస్తు పత్ని సవితు ప్రిష్ణీస్తు పత్ని సవితు సావిత్రం వ్యాహర్తిం త్రహిం సావిత్రిం వ్యాహర్తిం త్రహిం అగ్నిహోత్రం పశుం సోమం అగ్నిహోత్రం పశుం సోమం చతుర్మాస్యా మహామకాన్ చతుర్మాస్యం మహామకాన్. సావిత్రిం వ్యాహర్తిం త్రహిం చతుర్మాస్యా మహామకాన్. శ్రీసుక ఉవాచ प्रिष्णीस्तु पत्नी सवितु सावित्रीं वाहर्तिं प्रहिम् अग्निहोत्रं पशुं सोमम् चतुर्मासं महाकाय सावित्रीं वाहर्तिं प्रहिम् अग्निहोत्रं पशुं सोमं विष्णुस्तु पत्नी सोहं सावित्रं त्रयर्तिं त्रहिं सावित्रं ब्राहर्तिं तः निहोत्रं पशुं चतुर्मासं महा श्रीशुक उवाच We'll see the word-to-word translation. Sri Sukha Huvacha, Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Prishni, Prishni, tu, then, Patni, wife, Savitu, of Savita, Savitrim, Savitri, Vyahartim, Vyaharti, Trahim, Trahi, Agnihotram, Agnihotra, Pasum, Pasu, Somam, Soma, Chaturmasyam, Chaturmasya, Maha Makan, the five Maha Yajnas. Translation only by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Prishni, who was the wife of Savita, the fifth of the 12 sons of Aditi, gave birth to three daughters. Savitri, Vayaharthi, and Trahi. And the sons named Agnihotra, Pasu, Soma, Chaturmasya, and the five Mahayagyas. We do not have purport until text number 6. So we will just go through the text for 2, 3, 4, and 5, and also 6. Yeah? O King Siddhi, who was a wife of Bhaga, the sixth son of Aditi, bore three sons named Mahima, Vibhu, and Prabhu, and one extremely beautiful daughter whose name is Ashi. Text number 3 and 4 combined. Datta, the seventh son of Aditi, had four wives named Kuhu, Sinivali, Raka, and Anumati. These wives begot four sons named Sayam, Darsha, Prataha, and Purnamasa respectively. The wife of the Vidata, the eighth son of Aditi, was named Kriya. In her, Vidata begot the five fire gods, namely the Purishyas. The wife of Varuna, the ninth son of Aditi, was named Karshani Brihu. The son of Brahma took birth again in her womb. Text number 5. By the semen of Varuna, the great mystic Valmiki took birth from the anthill. Brihu and Valmiki were respective sons of Varuna, whereas Agastya and Vasishtha Rishi were the common sons of Varuna and Mitra, the tenth son of Aditi. Text number 6. Upon seeing Urvasi, the celestial society girl, both Mitra and Varuna discharged semen, which they preserved in an earthen pot. The two sons, Agastya and Vasishtha, later appeared from the pot, and they are therefore the common sons of Mitra and Varuna. Mitra begot three sons in the womb of his wife, whose name was Revati. Their names were Astarga, Arishta, and Pipala. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Modern science is trying to generate living entities in test tubes by processing semen. But even long, long ago, it was possible for semen kept in a pot to develop into a child. Om Agyana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Ena Tasmai Shri Guruvena Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahim Tadatiswa Padantam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we see here a lot of names, isn't it? Wife, they got three children, and this man, this Muni got that wife, and he has got four children. So many names. Now, why so many names are mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam? What's the reason for mentioning all this? All they can say is, Krishna is a supreme personality of Godhead. Come, chant his name and do devotional service to him. Right? Lineages are given. What's the reason?
Related to Krishna, all the names related to Krishna are important. Yes. Yes. Of course, it's all connected to Bhagavatam. So parampara, out of not taking out of a blue, if something is linked to the parampara, it's easier for us to understand. For example, Srila Prabhupada. If you say only Srila Prabhupada, okay, he's a pure devotee and all that. But to understand that, Srila Prabhupada has also got a guru. His guru has got a guru. Then we can connect, isn't it? If I say, I'm just dropped from the sky, I do not have parents, then it doesn't make sense. If I say, my parents is, you know, Lakshmi Narayan, his parents is something else, like that, you know. If you keep on saying, yes, it makes sense. Yes, yes. Connection is there. Parampara. That is one aspect. I think children have to be a little bit quieter. Little bit quieter. I know they're children. What can you do? But little bit quieter will be better. So therefore, you should give some activity. Yeah, therefore. Good, thank you. Now, just to prove that Srimad Bhagavatam, so many names are there. Why? Because Srimad Bhagavatam is not a speculation or allegorical story. It provides minute details. Yeah? Minute details. See, who has gone to... Sometimes, you know, when we say, I've got a relative there in Mumbai, I've got so many relatives in Chennai or whatever it may be. I do not know. I may know only the first relationship, you know. For example, cousin or someone. I do not know who are their sons, where they got married to. I do not know. But here, Bhagavatam gives a very minute details. What's the reason for this minute detail? Because this minute details gives efficacy to prove that yes, Bhagavatam is a spiritual literature. It is not just written for fun, or it's not a fiction. It's not an allegorical story. Yeah? It has got a deep meaning. It's got values. It's got efficacy. So that's the reason it's been explained in sequential order. That's the first step. Then, if you see, because we're starting the first chapter, chapter number 17 is named Mother Parvati Curses Chitraketu. And chapter number 18, Diti Vows to Kill King Indra. Now if you really see, there is a complete changeover in the continuity of events, isn't it? How can someone compromise? When you read some stories, yeah, they'll say, yes, the story is continuing in a pattern. But here, unless you know the bigger picture, it's very difficult to understand. What Chitraketu Maharaj has to do with Diti? How it is connected? Suddenly the next chapter starts with something different. So this is Bhagavatam. Therefore, we need to understand in the right perspective. We cannot concoct Bhagavatam, isn't it? So let us try to understand, put things together so that we understand it better. Okay? For that, what we have to do is we have to revisit. We have to go backside and try to pull some information and connect it together. Then we will understand the chain. Okay? So what we are going to do is, in the sixth canto, the same canto, we are not going to any other cantos. In the sixth canto, in the sixth chapter, what's the sixth chapter of sixth canto? It says, the progeny of the daughters of Daksha. So progeny, sixth chapter starts with the progeny of the daughters of Daksha. Now, Daksha had how many daughters? You have to recall. Which Bhagavatam are you referring to? We have got Bhagavatam from our shelf. Is it Bhagavatam or just a... It's like a score, you're giving some score. 13 has been married to Kashyapa Muni. Good try, but how many? 60 daughters. Because Daksha is a Prajapati. Who is a Prajapati? He is one who is empowered to increase the universes. He has to populate. That is an order given by the Lord. But some other people also populate, but that's not the order of the Krishna. But Krishna's order to Prajapati is to increase the population, because this is, we are talking about Satyayuga, where the population was very less. And therefore, Daksha took the leadership of Prajapati to increase the population. Yeah? Now, out of the 60 daughters married to Kashyapa Muni, of them, two were very prominent. Who are the two? Very good. Diti and Aditi. Aditi is a mother of demigods. Although Kashyapa Muni married so many, these two are very prominent. Now Diti is the mother of the demons. And we see in the track, that next chapter, that we are going to talk about the two famous, notorious sons of Diti. Who are? Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Is going to come in the next chapter. Now, whereas Aditi is a devotee, and therefore she gave rise to a lot of demigods. If you see interestingly, this chapter starts with the chapter, that's why the chapter name is Diti Vows to Kill Indra. But the first few verses, we are talking about Aditi's children. It has got nothing to do with it. It's Diti is almost, of course, mother of all the demons. But we are describing the children of Aditi who are demigods, like Varuna, Vayu, Bhrigu, and all that. So again, in order for us to understand this, what happens is, in the sixth canto, yes, we saw that. Now, again in the sixth canto, text number 38 to 39. Okay? So chapter 6, text number 38 to 39. I'm just reading the translation. It says, "Now please hear me as I describe." Who is describing to whom? Sukadeva Goswami is... Yeah, exactly. That is the one. He's continuing the topic. Now, Sukadeva Goswami is saying, please listen to me as I describe the descendants of Aditi in chronological order. In this dynasty, the supreme personality of Godhead, Narayana, descended by his plenary expansions. The names of the sons of Aditi are Vishwasan, Aryana, Pusa, Twesta. Note this name, it's going to come now. Twesta, Savita. We spoke about it. Where did he speak about Savita? The very first verse. The very first verse talks about the fifth son of Aditi. Now Twesta, Aditi, Bhaga, Bhata, Vidata, Varuna, Mitra, Satru, and Urukrama. Who's Urukrama? Sukadeva Goswami is giving a hint. In this dynasty, the supreme personality of God Narayana descended by his plenary expansions. So who is Urukrama? Vamanade. Now, Vamanadeva pastimes are mentioned in Canto 8. It will be mentioned. We are going to study that soon in Canto 8. So, here it is mentioned about the 12 sons, yeah, of Aditi. Now, that is continuing in the chapter 18. Because, why it is continuing? Because from chapter 6, the descendants of Daksha's daughter has been told. Okay? Now, from chapter number 7, So we are trying to follow. From chapter number 7 to 17, what is happening? There is a big narration. See, what's happening is, Sukadeva Goswami is narrating the pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then Parikshit Maharaj asks a question. So he has to deviate. Now again from that he will ask one more question. He has to deviate. So there's a lot of deviation. It is not in sequential order. Okay? So what's happened is, from chapter 7 to 17, a big narration is going on by Sukadeva Goswami. What he's saying is, he's talking about the killing of Vishwarupa by Indra. He was talking. Then immediately Parikshit Maharaj asked, why Vishwarupa has to be killed? Then again Sukadeva Goswami has to say, because while Vishwarupa was doing sacrifices, he offered a little bit of oblation to the demons, his family members, and therefore Indra got angry and cut it. Now who is Tvasta? Sorry, who is Vishwarupa? Because the pastime is continuing. See, we are going back now, not the 18th chapter. We are, for a time being, we are going to chapter 7 and we are going to come back. Then it makes sense to you why there was a link. Because Sukadeva Goswami is just picking up the thread. Right? Wherever he left, he's picking up the thread. So who is Vishwarupa? Although Manmohan Prabhu was not here, but still we have to take the help of him. Who is Vishwarupa? Come on. He gave that class and he left to Vrindavan, Manmohan Prabhu. So he will remember that. Yes, who is Vishwarupa? You're very good. Now, who's a son? Vishwarupa is a son of whom? Tvasta, very good. Who is Tvasta? We saw now. He's the fourth son of Aditi. So, you got the point now? Daksha is there. Daksha has got 60 daughters. Out of the 60 daughters, two are very prominent, Diti and Aditi. Now the Sukadeva Goswami is talking on the 6th chapter about Aditi's sons, 12 sons. Out of which the fourth son name is Tvasta. Tvasta's son was Vishwarupa. Vishwarupa, when he was doing a yagya, he gave some oblations to the demon, which Indra did not like it. So what happened? He cut all the heads and killed him. Then what happened? Will Tvasta keep quiet? Because his son was killed, murdered. Will he keep quiet? No. What he did? He did a yagya. And in the yagya, who came? Vitrasura came. And Vitrasura came, and there was a fight between Vitrasura and India and Indra. Big fight was there. And then what happened? Vitrasura was killed. And how long it took for Indra to kill Vitrasura? 1 year to cut his head. It's a full-time job. 1 year to cut the head of Vitrasura. Then, at that battlefield, Parikshit Maharaj was very curious to understand, how come this demon, he's got a demon body, but he is acting like a devotee. How can a demon acting like a devotee? Because we see in Kali Yuga, all the devotees act like demons. Yeah? Of course, not you people. I'm just generally saying. So he was surprised. How can a demon act like a devotee? And therefore, what did Sukadeva Goswami has to say? He has to give back the past life of Vitrasura, which is Chitraketu. And then the whole story lineup again starts with Chitraketu. What happened to Chitraketu? He got so many wives, but he did not get a child. When the child was born, the child died. Then he took up the spiritual knowledge, and then he became after that he became Vidyadhara. Yeah? Where he was going in an aeroplane and he saw He saw whom? Lord Shiva. Yeah, and Mother Parvati sitting on Shiva's lap. So he was jokingly, you know, passing some comments, which Shiva thought, oh, he's my friend. But Parvati did not like. So when a wife is there, we should not comment about her husband. That's what we learn. One of the lessons we learn is, yes, when the husband is alone, it's okay. But when the husband is the wife, do not comment. And then Mother Parvati got so angry that he cursed him, become a demon. At that time, Tvastha was doing a yagya. So the demon, Chitraketu Maharaj, because he was cursed, he became a demon and he took birth in a sacrifice as Vitrasura. And then this is what lineup continues. Now, Parvati was cursed and all that, this connection is over now. Now, Sukadeva Goswami is going to a different angle now. He's going to talk about the lineage of Aditi and then lineage of Diti, because Diti is a heading, you know. So, if you see, the first 9 verses of this chapter, the first 9 verses, talks about Aditi's descendants, while 10 to 19 talks about Diti's descendants. The lineage of Aditi, you can solve, or the lineage of Diti. Now, text number 5, interestingly, because from there, text number 6 comes up. Now, text number 5, what does it say? It says, by the semen of Varuna, the great mystic Valmiki took birth from an anthill. Bhrigu and Valmiki were specific sons of Varuna, whereas Agastya and Vasishtha Muni were the common sons of Varuna and Mritu. And from there, the next verse is, upon seeing Urvashi, the celestial society girl, both Mitra and Varuna discharged semen, which they preserved in an earthen pot. The two sons, Agastya and Vasishtha, later appeared from the pots. And Srila Prabhupada is commenting about how long, long time there were children born from pots or test tubes. And now children are born from test tubes. Yes? So therefore, Srila Prabhupada is commenting in his purport, modern science is trying to generate living entities in the test tubes by processing semen. But even long, long ago, it was possible for semen kept in a pot to develop into a child. I would like to recall a morning walk. A morning walk by Srila Prabhupada in the 19th of April 1973 at Los Angeles regarding test tube babies. When normally what happens, early morning Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, he goes for a walk. Along with the walk, there will be a lot of his disciples going with him. And during that time, so many conversations will come up. And all the conversations are so important. It is pertaining to some subject matter, which Srila Prabhupada would have already discussed in elsewhere. Bhagavadam. So important. Srila Prabhupada, when he opens his mouth, is only nectar, and that too pertaining to something about spirituality. This is how Srila Prabhupada was. So I'm reading this comment. Please listen. Okay. Now the person who were with Srila Prabhupada was Srila Prabhupada himself. Then Brahmananda. You know that? Brahmananda was a very senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who was instrumental in making this ISKCON movement. Very, very senior devotee. Brahmananda. And then followed by him was Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was also known as Dr. Singh, who was a scientist. So the conversation is with the scientist. Previously he was a scientist, but after coming to Krishna consciousness, he became a big guru, leading guru, Swarup Damodar Das, Prabhu, Goswami. Then Karandara was one of the devotees there. Then what's happened is, Swarup Damodar Prabhu, he raises a point. Srila Prabhupada, these days, babies are produced in test tubes. Then, you know how Srila Prabhupada, he thought and he said, the conversation, the womb is already there, and children are already growing. What is the need? This is not advancement. Advancement means something which will benefit, isn't it? So he said, naturally Krishna has given the uterus to the lady and child is growing everywhere, you know. Everyone is getting. What is the need? Is this advancement? Srila Prabhupada is saying. Then Swarup Damodar Prabhu or Goswami Maharaj is saying, they are very proud and they want to do it outside of womb. Yeah? They want to do it outside of womb. Anyway, child is growing in the womb. We want to prove that we are also God. Yeah? We want to equate to God. Therefore, we want to prove everything which God has done. God can create babies. He can also create babies. Why not? It's a mentality. Demonic people, okay? Then, Brahmananda Prabhu is saying, they are just making it more difficult and expensive way. There's a natural way and there's an expensive way. Expensive way is you go to the fertility center, they'll ask you some $10,000 or whatever may be, which is naturally done. So look at this. Okay. Then Swarup Damodar Maharaj said, people want to give them Nobel Prize. Then Srila Prabhupada was really, you know, annoyed. And then in between, Brahmananda, before Srila Prabhupada could answer, he's going to tell something. Brahmananda Prabhu said, Srila Prabhupada, this Nobel Prize was given, as taken after the name of the person who invented dynamite. Do you know that? I didn't know that. On research, I found out. Yeah? His name was Alfred Nobel. Correct? He is the one who invented dynamite. Can you see dynamite? Bomb. And the scientist community gave him a Nobel Prize, which is for his name. Okay, on his name. So therefore, henceforth, if anyone gives a Nobel Prize, that means it's taken after his name. Nobel Alfred. So Nobel Prize. And there's a prize money. So if we do any invention in the science that is considered great, and a prize is given, and the name of the prize is Nobel. Now you know that. And that guy was given, Alfred was himself given prize because his name was Nobel and because he invented dynamite. Now, after hearing this, Srila Prabhupada was very furious. Okay? Now he's saying something with reference to Srimad Bhagavatam. He's saying, Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse. What is that? 2.3.19 in Srimad Bhagavatam. Men who are like dogs, Bhagavatam is saying, hogs, camels, and asses, praise those men who never listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from evils. So people who are like camels, dogs, they want to glorify other camels and dogs. That's what it means. So Srila Prabhupada is saying, how will they have an interest to listen to Krishna? They're always going in the track. Okay? And then, what happened? He wasn't happy. The conversation goes on and all that. That was over. So now, the topic for us today, because I thought rather than going and on, let us stop this and we'll try to dwell on a topic. Okay? Now the topic what I picked up today was science and spirituality. How are we going to match up? Okay? Because science is also growing. Spirituality is also growing. Kali Yuga. How do we have to match up? How do we have to reconcile? Okay? So, we see the technology now. It has grown from test tube to YouTube. It's growing. If you want anything, you go to YouTube and see. There they are loading semen, here they are loading video. That's the difference. Okay? Both is going on, loading is going on. Okay. So, first we see one or two aspects of the demerits of science. Okay? And then we will start. Because of course, in the material world, okay, there is always a side effect. There's a reaction for everything. Newton's third law. To every action, there is equal but opposite reaction. Always there is a reaction in the material world. If I do like this, the table is also giving a reaction to me. And that's why, you know, I'm feeling, you know, little bit of a pain or whatever you call, right? If I do like this, a table. So there is equal but opposite reaction is there in the material world. Okay, we have to understand that. Nothing is for free. So, global warming, they say, isn't it? It's a big problem. The climate is changing. But people from Melbourne, we are not surprised because one day we see all the weathers. And therefore, when we say climate change, we are not surprised. Correct? When we come into the Bhagavatam class, there is a sun. When we go out, it's raining heavily. Then think, oh, why did we not bring the umbrella? This is how Melbourne works. Now, do you know the reason for this global warming? What's the reason? Yeah, the reason is due to a lot of emission of gases. Especially, they say not much of carbon dioxide, but they say it's converted and it's changed into nitrous oxide. Because our atmosphere consists of oxygen and carbon dioxide is produced. It's formed, transformed. But what does the atmosphere consist of? Oxygen and?
Nitrogen.
Come on. We should know this. Savia? Sivia? You should know that, right? The atmosphere consists of oxygen and nitrogen. So what happens? The oxygen, carbon emissions are there. I'm not taking a science class here, but you should need a science teacher as well, because we are going to discuss about science and spirituality. So the oxygen from the atmosphere reacts with carbon and produces carbon dioxide. In the same way, oxygen reacts with nitrogen also and produces nitrous oxide, which is a very dangerous gas. So what happens is, because of our aircraft, when we say, oh, next week I'm flying to India, how we are going? Singapore Airlines. We do not know. We go. And what is the emission gone? You know that? It says, due to the increase in oxygen, or due to the increase in carbon dioxide and nitrous oxide, the global aviation industry produces about 2% of carbon dioxide emissions, and the road transportation produces about 10 to 12%. And this affects the climate change. So, one may think, oh, when I fly, there is not much traffic. But the pollution is there. 2 to 3% of pollution. And you can see sometimes there are airports, maybe Mumbai or things like that, or even probably Sydney or even Melbourne too, there every minute one flight is landing and every minute one flight is taking off. And can you imagine the transmission produced? Can you imagine? We just see something coming and going, like a bird. But you know the transmission, the gases they are producing? This is affecting the global climate. And therefore we can see everywhere is erratic. See, this is summer, or going to be summer, right? In Melbourne, normally you see, we expect a warm weather in November, isn't it? Relatively warm. But I think this summer we are going to have wet summers. I don't think it's going to be dry summers. It's going to rain all over the way. So this is because of abnormal features, abnormality. It's not normal. This is due to the global warming. This is a very, very important thing we have to be aware of. But we have got less control. So what we should do, basically, we are in an environment where we are forced. We don't have a choice. Okay? So we should be very careful in picking up the right choice. And therefore, let us have some conversation on this. Science and spirituality. Okay? Now, how do we understand this in the right perspective? How do we understand this? Science gives us operational procedures. For example, how to operate a camera, how to operate a computer. There's a camera here, there's a cameraman here, there's a mic here. How to operate this operation? But spirituality gives you a knowledge which is much higher, which is known as transcendental knowledge. What is transcendental knowledge? The very meaning, transcendence, transcendental knowledge. What does it mean? Yes, transcend. That means go beyond. That is why Srila Prabhupada always says, not spiritual knowledge. Because many people think spiritual is something, you know. It's a knowledge which is given for you to cross over the material. So Srila Prabhupada always says, transcendental knowledge, correct? Although it's spiritual knowledge, this is how he means it. Transcendent. You have to transcend. If there is a problem here, what do? You transcend this room. You transcend. If there is a problem in the material world, what do? You don't find better means to live. What do? You go out of the material world. If there's a problem in the room, you go out of the room. So this is a concept. So the spiritual knowledge or transcendental knowledge gives you a knowledge where you can go out of the material world. Material knowledge will give you how to run this material knowledge, material aspects nicely. How to build a house, how to get a nice car, how to run a camera, all these things. Okay? Operational knowledge is different to the transcendental knowledge. For example, in Kurukshetra war, Mahabharata war, in the battlefield, did Arjuna say, Krishna, please train me how to shoot the arrows? Because I am a Kshatriya, you should teach me. Did Arjuna say that? Why? If I am a computer engineer, I'll say, please teach me cloud. You're a cloud professor. Please teach me cloud. Isn't it? I'll say, why is Arjuna not asking Krishna, come on, Krishna, teach me how I can kill, the opponent, Dronacharya. Please tell me how I can kill Bhishma. Did he say that? Why? He wants a knowledge to solve his problem. And that problem cannot be solved on the same level. It has to go higher. And therefore, he surrendered to Krishna. And Krishna gave spiritual knowledge, transcendental knowledge. He did not give the art of training. He did not give material knowledge. Yes? What did he give Krishna? In the same way, we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam. That means Parikshit Maharaj was about to die in 7 days. He did not go to Sukadev Goswami and say, please tell me the best hospital with ICU units so that I die properly. 7 days is there. I want to go to the best hospital in India and then I should be in the ICU for 6.5 days. 7th day I eat nicely and I die. Please, Sukadeva Goswami, give me this knowledge. Which is the best flight I can go so that oxygen cylinder also I can carry along? Was this described in Srimad Bhagavatam? 7 days is there for a person to die. What did he do? He surrendered to Sukadeva Goswami as a teacher and he said, please give me transcendental knowledge so that I can fix my mind on Krishna. This is exactly what Arjuna wanted. Krishna, let me fix my mind on you and then everything becomes easier for me to handle in this world. Doesn't matter whether I kill or I die. I don't care. This was the attitude of the world. Sukadeva Goswami, 7 days. Please tell me all about Krishna. How a person at the time of death should do and what he should be absorbed at the time of death. This was a question raised by Parikshit Maharaj to Sukadeva Goswami. And what did Sukadeva Goswami say? Although he gave immediately, but he's giving steps gradually. He said, at the time of death, one should constantly chant, remember, talk about Krishna. And in that way only the mind, restless mind will be controlled. There is no other way. This is transcendental knowledge. Not the knowledge of the body, but the body, the knowledge regarding soul, so that one can transcend. So therefore, we see how transcendental knowledge is important. That is why discussing Bhagavatam, which will give you an impetus to go beyond body. No other knowledge in no other university talks about this. How to transcend. All they'll tell you is procedures, yeah, in the material world. Procedures. How I can better my living? Today you have got a Kia car, please get BMW. You got BMW, please get Audi and support Australia. This is a knowledge. And what happens? A person with a BMW, he thinks, I've got a high engine power, I can do whatever, he zooms and that will be end. He will take up another body. This is what's happening. So a lack of knowledge. Okay? So the first point is, scriptures actually gives us higher knowledge, whereas material world or material knowledge gives us only operational knowledge. Is it clear? It gives an operational knowledge, how to do, how to drive a car, how to get money. But spiritual knowledge gives a higher knowledge, which is known as transcendental knowledge, which helps you to transcend all your problems, because in the material world, we have problems. You cannot solve the problem on the same level. You have to go to the next level to solve. One. Next. What's the difference between scriptural knowledge and material knowledge in that perspective? How do we have to see it? Now, because we have gone up to sixth canto, up to the sixth canto, there is a lot of mention about cosmography. As cosmology, okay? How the world is structured, how the universe, where is, what is the movement of the sun, how the sun travels, especially the fifth canto and the other cantos also, there's a lot of mention about cosmology. Yeah? Mount Meru, how the demigods are, you know, etc., etc., and all that. So, the purpose of Bhagavatam is to fix your mind on Krishna, and therefore, the Bhagavatam fifth canto says how by hearing cosmology one can fix the mind on Krishna. By hearing, sometimes people ask, why do I have to study about this movement of the sun, the movement of the earth, etc., right? But the fifth canto tells you, one of the purpose, Srila Prabhupada says, that is to fix your mind on hearing. If you hear cosmology, that means you're fixing your mind on Krishna. Then one may ask a question, how is that? How is it possible? Yes, it is possible. That's what we are going to prove now, going to say. In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam progresses from matter to spirit and spirit to the Supreme Spirit. Bhagavatam is focusing like that. It's progressing if you look at the second chapter. Now, also there is mention about Virat Rupa, the second canto. What is Virat Rupa? Virat Rupa is considering this whole universe as a gigantic form of Krishna, as a body of Krishna, meditating on it, and go beyond that. Because Bhagavatam is subsequently going from second canto to third canto to fourth canto and all that. So, our focus is to go beyond the Virat Rupa. So, first understanding that we are matter. Proceeding beyond matter. And understanding that there's a supreme spiritual being. By understanding that looking at this universe which is resembling the body of the universe, which is Lord's body, universal body, which is known as Viratrupa, and then slowly going beyond that and understanding that the Lord is a person. This is how the Bhagavatam is built. In the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, from chapter 1 to chapter 25, lot of detachment is told. This is especially the pastimes of Rishabhadev and Jadabharat, fifth canto discuss, and it's talking more of the detachment aspects, that don't be attached to matter, don't be attached to matter. Whereas on the later part of the fifth chapter, it talks about cosmology, the movement of the sun, how, you know, the day and the night works, more about the cosmology only. So why it is given like that? Because unless there is some kind of detachment, one, we cannot understand even the cosmology also properly. Therefore, the detachment aspect is emphasized first in the fifth canto through the instructions of Rishabhadev and Jadabharat and all that, and then the cosmology is happened. We see normally the material world, when you talk about sun or moon or anything, right? People are not understanding that there is a personality behind that. Very difficult. All they see is matter. This is matter, that is matter, this is matter, and how I can enjoy matter. Because that matter concept is very deep inside. And therefore they cannot relate to anything other than matter. It's not possible. Conditioned. That's what Srila Prabhupada says, conditioned soul. But to understand little bit beyond matter, some renunciation has to be happen. That is what Bhagavatam is focusing on. Little bit of renunciation here. And then you will understand. So as a devotee, you go and read the fifth canto. You easily know. Yes, there is a person, sun god is there behind sun. But if you go and tell your working colleagues, that the sun has got a person, yeah, who is driving, and the sun planet has got a driver, chauffeur, his name is Aruna. Yeah? And there are about 7 white horses running. Will they believe that? Come on, don't give this crap to me. This is mythology. Don't talk about this. Why? Because that renunciation aspect is missing there. Correct? But technically, Bhagavatam says, how the sun, what speed? Bhagavatam is so giving so minute details, it also gives very interesting to know that the sun has got a chariot, and the chariot got so many wheels. And how the wheels are going over Mount Meru, connecting a point to pivoting to Dhruva planet. It's connected to the Dhruva planet. It's making circumferences, you know. What gradual, you know. And how the day and nights are formed. How eclipses are formed. It gives a complete study, Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, a person who is engrossed in matter, they cannot understand this. And that is why renunciation aspect is stressed in the fifth canto through the instructions of Jadabharat and Rishabhadev, and then slowly Sukadeva Goswami is giving. Although it may look that why Sukadeva Goswami needs this information for Maharaj Parishit. It's not for Maharaj Parishit, it's for us. Because he is at a different level. So these instructions are given for us. Therefore, we should have some kind of renunciation before we jump into this Bhagavatam. Otherwise, we cannot understand Srimad Bhagavatam. No matter, you try. You try with your material aspects. You cannot understand. Okay? That's the second point. The third point is limitation of science. Science operates on physical phenomena. That's only so much we can do. Now, Sir Isaac Newton is a scientist. What he did, he was sitting on one day After the Bhagavatam class, he was sitting in the in St. Kilda Park. He saw one apple falling down. All of us, what you ever seen? Oh, I've saved $1. I got an apple. That's what we will think. He thought, why the apple is coming down? Why it is not going up? And he could have said, he is a devotee, okay? Newton is a devotee. You can see a lot of examples. Devotee in the sense, he could understand the difference between body and soul. All these scientists, they could understand the relation. Now, you go to a scientist and say, do you know there is a soul? He will say, no, what soul? It's only body. They do not have a knowledge. Because those days, they were in the mode of goodness. Now, the difference between those days and now is, now scientists in the mode of passion, those days scientists were in the mode of goodness. So therefore, they could relate to body and soul. Now, Newton was thinking, why the apple is not going up? So what he did, he came out with a phenomena, working, you know, studying and finding out. Now, although Newton was a devotee, he could have said, oh, it's falling down because it's an act of God. It's all ultimate. Everything happens by the movement of the God. Without God, nothing happens. And he could have put an end to the chapter. Correct? Did he do that? It's God. Everything is falling. Everything is going up and down. It's all the grace of God. So God is ultimate. Hare Krishna. And he can go. What did he do? He went and did a research. And he found out a phenomena of gravity. That every object will tend to fall down. It doesn't go up. The moment you drop something, it'll fall down. If anyone has got a very costly mobile phone, please give it to me. I'll show gravity. How it works. Yeah? Then only we'll know what's the power of gravity. It's 7 years old, you know, so it doesn't have any value. So, he fought a phenomena. That phenomena works only for the material realm. It doesn't go for the pencil. It doesn't go beyond the material realm. Okay? Now, what do we understand by that? Oh, I did not understand. Please give an example. Okay, I'll give an example. A fisherman is going to do some fishing. He's carrying a net. In that, the net has got 1 inch by 1 inch, very big hole. Now he's going with the idea that I am today going to get a lot of fishes. But the fish net has got big, big holes, okay? 1 inch by 1 inch, a big one. Now he's going to spend the whole day fishing. Will he get a fish? Why? So what? What will happen with the hole? So the equipment he has got for a particular job is incorrect. So if you want to go for a fishing, which normally devotees don't, give an example, you should take a rod or a net which is smaller so that the fish will come. So the same thing, material energy works like that. The material energy, all the apparatus here will not show you what is God, will not teach you what is God. Limitations are there. The medical science is there to relieve problem, correct? All medical science means it is supposed to relieve problem. But is there any instrument that will measure the pain of the body? They've got painkillers they'll give you to relieve. But do you know how much pain you've got in the body? Is there any instrument known as painometer? Because pain is experiential. You can only feel the pain. It is not quantifiable. I cannot say, I had 80 kgs of pain yesterday. Today you are having 1 kg of pain? You cannot say that. It's not quantifiable. It's experiential. So therefore, if you want experience, you must come transcend to the spiritual energy. Not material energy will not solve your problem. It will be able to go like a quick fix. It's able to fix something. But you will not experience that. And therefore, this is a problem. Science has got limitation. It's only so much you can do. Yeah? Now, the next one we are going to see is how in the case of a treatment, okay, say for example someone is sick. Now for a sick, you know, what you do? You need two aspects. One is a curative medicine to cure, like antibiotic, and other one is a painkiller. Because he's sick, he's suffering from pain and sickness. Yeah. So you need a curative medicine, which is an antibiotic and a painkiller. Now, in our topic to discuss, to understand better, the curative medicine, antibiotic, is considered as spiritual, and the painkiller is considered as material. Okay, any material perspective, material topic, material equipment, whatever you call it, based on material phenomena. Say, if someone says, yes, I am going to take only antibiotics, I do not want painkiller. Now what will happen? Yes, the pain may be, of course, the sickness may be cured, but he has to suffer the pain. Correct? Because he's not taking painkiller. Or on the other hand, if someone says, I do not want antibiotic, I want only painkiller, will the problem be cured? Will his disease be cured? No. Therefore, we have to strike a balance. In this world, we want science also. At the same time, we want spirituality also. Spirituality is to transcend for the inner body, inner path. Material is for the outer path. So in our spiritual science, we have got two paths. One is the outer path where you progress with your education, your job, your career, your family. All this is outer path. Krishna is not worried about it. That is not the motive of Bhagavad Gita. That's not the motive of Srimad Bhagavatam. But the motive of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is inner path. How do you know who you are? You are a person, spiritual person. You are a soul living in the body. Have you realized that? This is known as science of self-realization. Have you known that you are a soul and you are a tiny part of Krishna? Have you realized that in your life? No, you're not realized. Next birth, again, you become a body or a dog or a cat. Because you're not realized. As long as someone is not able to realize that they are part of Krishna, or they have a spiritual identity in this birth, then next birth is very troublesome for them. Because they work in ignorance, they move in ignorance, they do everything in ignorance. So, mere antibiotic is not enough. So someone may say, yes, scriptures are very important. Yeah? And Bhagavatam says that, or scripture says that, science should not be there. It is like taking only antibiotic. Someone says, on the other hand, why do you want antibiotic? Take only painkiller. This is like saying, oh, science has developed so much. See, today I've come to Australia. I got a PR. I got a better house. I got a car. But what is the guarantee that you're going to live? You may have an accident. No plane, no aeroplane says that, yes, you can go from destination A to B without any problem. Did they give a guarantee? No. So therefore, science is also important. Yeah? But you cannot say, I want only painkiller, I do not want to take it. Why do you want, I've got so many things, I do not want God. Why do you want God in my life? Answer this point. That's what they say. Because they are foolish. Because you can see in this scenario of this sickness, painkiller and antibiotic, you can say that they are like little bit foolish, like taking only painkiller. I'll take only painkiller, I want my disease to cure. It will never happen. Therefore, people who think, I've got this material life, I've got a big house, I've got a car, I don't want Lord, I don't want to come to the temple, I don't want to do any service, fine. They are foolish like that. They want only only painkillers. And people who are very, you know, followers of scriptures, they say, you know what, how India was there, we don't even touch this, we don't want to touch that, you know, we will only wash our house with cow dung, we don't bring antibiotic. In COVID time also, I did not use antibiotic, you know, what is that, antibacterial, I used only cow dung, all this. This is also fanatic. Because you have to embrace science. A combination is important. Yeah? As much as antibiotics is required for the disease and the painkiller, so also science is required. Important. So, that is why this cosmology or this Srimad Bhagavatam talks about cosmology, not because it has to present this whole world, because the sun is movements are like this and you know it's going like this and all that. It's not presenting cosmology, but it's helping us to meditate our mind so that there's a Supreme Lord behind that, all creation. To help us to meditate in different angles. Bhagavatam. Third canto is talking about something else. Fifth canto is talking about. Sixth canto is talking about. The whole Bhagavatam. Such a nectar. It tells us how there are different ways to approach God. And one should seek. One should seek. Come to Krishna. Your mere material knowledge or your material assets are not enough. It's as good as foolish people who is thinking, I've got a bunch of painkiller, I'm happy with that. No. A disease has to be cured by two ways, two aspects. Yeah? So that is why. So what we do is, yes, we have to embrace also. For example, today if I say, oh, I came from India in a village. At that time, it was so nice. I don't want to use this microphone. This is material. I don't want to. Don't bring that camera to me. It's material. I don't want to use specs. I will read Bhagavatam. What will happen? I can't even talk. No. So therefore, we need technology. But it has to be used in the service of Krishna. Then it has got a higher cause. If I use only for my pleasure, I got a home theater where I only for my pleasure, then what is the point? You're not connecting. You're not trying to understand yourself. You're not transcending the body. The whole purpose of Bhagavatam is defeated then. Yes? So, the conclusion is that we have to balance. And how you balance? That is why you need scriptures. You must know. Paraphrasing, if you think only I've got material energy, I don't want spiritual energy, that means you're foolish. You're taking only painkiller. But if you think, oh, I've got scriptures, I don't want to use science in the growth of spirituality, then you are like taking only antibiotic, not taking painkiller. So we need antibiotic and painkiller, which means we have to embrace spirituality along with science and we have to progress on the path of spirituality. Okay, I will stop here now. If there are any quick comments or questions, please, with this we shall conclude. Yes, Mataji.
Thank you so much. It's a really beautiful class. I don't have that much deeper knowledge about all this Bhagavatam, but you explained so beautifully. Thank you so much.
And it's all available in Srila Prabhupada. All I have to do is, I have to pick and choose, like making a khichdi. You know, I have to pick some grains, I have to pick sambar powder, and then dal and vegetable and mix it into khichdi. That's what I did. It's all there in Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, devotees, please, this is a nectar, I'm telling you. Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, you can get this book in the temple, you know, the devotees and all that. There are 12 cantos. Nectar. It shows everything from A to Z, material, matter to spirit. Yeah? And Bhagavad Gita is also there. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, they're talking about how one can transcend. As we discussed earlier, Arjuna came to Krishna not to get the knowledge of training of archery. He wanted transcendental knowledge. So also Parikshit Maharaj, who was going to die in 7 days, he did not come to Sukadev Goswami to go to ICU unit. He wanted transcendental knowledge, although he was dying in 7 days. Therefore, all these people, if you see, they come to Krishna to get a knowledge, and through that knowledge, they are peaceful. First, we have to be internally peaceful, then externally we'll be peaceful. Externally, if you try to be peaceful, internally, if you're not peaceful, you'll never be peaceful. Very, very important point. Yeah? We will try to do so many things, trying outside to be happy, but we'll never be happy. Internally, we should make an endeavor to be peaceful. Then externally, automatically it's peaceful. And that internal peaceful, our internal path is our path regarding the study of Bhagavad Gita, study of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, association of devotees, and top of that is chanting of Hare Krishna mantra, which gives very peaceful to your mind, which is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare
Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare.
One should do this on a regular basis. Regular basis. Not leaving, continuing and discontinuing. Regular basis. Then one gets the strength to pull on with the material troublesome world. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Sri Gopal. Very wonderful class. The only comment is that you don't have to take antibiotics all the time because you can depend upon your immunity.
This is
the Lord has given us immunity. So if the painkiller is not acting for 1 or 2 days, then you think you are getting worse, then antibiotic will be necessary. But spirituality is most important. As you said, if we are spiritual, then Krishna will help you. And immunity also will grow up. So you might not need antibiotic, even at the top of the disease.
No, I gave an example of a disease. A disease has to be cured in 2 ways. So therefore, you know, in that
example,
you have to speak that. I've spoken that in that context. Yeah. Therefore, one, you need that. It's not that I'm taking all of you from today, you take antibiotic, you will not get a winter flu. It's not like that. It is just, you know.
Perfect.
Yeah? Analogical.
Your class is perfect.
Analogical. And therefore, we should try all endeavor. Yeah? Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Jai.
Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki
jai. Jai. Surya Gopal Prabhu ki jai. Grace Mahatma Prabhu ki jai.